There's been some mention of Project 2025 in the U.S. media, but some observers believe that the project is not being taken seriously enough. The project is a 920-page blueprint plan for the next Republican president that was written by the Heritage Foundation and other right-wing organizations. Ann Nelson teaches at Columbia University's School of International and Public Affairs. She spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg about the nature and significance of Project 2025.
Is what the right is doing with Project 2025 kind of a continuation of what started with Reagan, you know, this idea of rolling back all the gains that were made in the 60s and even before, or is it something really totally new?
Well, as I stated in my Washington Spectator piece, it is the newest iteration of a project that's been going on for over 40 years, where these same organizations have had similar goals over this period, although they've expanded them. But at their core are the religious rights, what you might call culture war issues, which is rolling back reproductive rights for women, rolling back voting rights for minorities, rolling back civil and political rights for LGBTQ people. So those have remained constant, and they overlap with the interests of the major donors, many of them from the fossil fuel industry, who don't want any environmental regulations and would rather not pay any taxes. So you combine those with measures to really restrict funding for public schools, public health, public environmental initiatives that are all paid for with tax money. So once you limit those, you basically concentrate more power and more money in the hands of the top 1% and less in the bottom 50%.
And you would say these kind of policies are already being implemented on the state level?
Oh, yes. There are various states that have been laboratories. But really, as you say, it goes back to the Reagan era. And at that time, you had measures that the administration carried out to limit the influence of labor unions. And that was a major issue in that period. And the labor unions in the United States have never recovered. In the 1970s, you had the greatest income equality of our lifetimes. That has been reversed, and now we have the greatest income inequality we've had for over 80 years. So the tax regimes that have been imposed under Republican administrations have made it possible for many billionaires to get away without paying any taxes at all, whereas a disproportionate tax burden falls, you know, on people who make a minimum income. So it's been progressive. What is new about Project 2025 is that, you know, if you look back over 40 years, you have a Republican administration that takes these measures, a Democratic administration that will whittle away at them and maybe take a step backward into the more egalitarian era. Then the Republicans come back. Project 2025 tries to build on the authoritarian qualities of the Trump administration in the first round, concentrate more power in the presidency, and remove power from the federal agencies, and make the courts and the FBI more responsible for the White House, and take various steps to consolidate power in the presidency and to limit the possibilities of displacing the administration in future elections.
I mean, there's already a problem with the regulatory agencies, right? I mean, there's this constant revolving door, the people in the industries they're supposed to be regulating sometimes serve on these agencies, and you're saying that this could get much worse. You're saying that
what Project 2025 calls for is to abolish the Department of Education and various other federal agencies, and to abolish various departments in federal agencies that are responsible for the scientific accumulation of data about the environment and pollution and about food safety, right? They want to abolish these services to the public altogether. So yes, the revolving door and some corrupt appointments are certainly a problem, but this is just sweeping the protective apparatus off the table.
So Trump has his own agenda. Is that any different than Project 2025?
The way to understand it is that there are over 100 organizations that have signed on in support of Project 2025. And very roughly half of them are funded by the Koch Network, very roughly half of them funded by Leonard Leo's Catholic Extremist Marble Trust, and then there's an overlap between those two. And so it is impossible to imagine any Republican candidate being elected without the support of these 100 organizations. They are the ones that are driving the donor base, they're driving the canvassing, they're driving the strategy, as they did with Trump in 2016, but to a lesser degree than they would do now. They have more money and more capability now than they did. So you saw Nikki Haley trying to launch a candidacy that made a few gestures that were independent of some of these positions and failing like other would-be candidates. These are the people who are controlling the party. And it's important to note that in Project 2025, they state whether it's President Trump returning to office, whether it's another conservative or GOP candidate, this is the game plan. This is essentially the party platform.
Are the Democrats already pushing back against this? Or as you say, are they just trying to whittle away a little bit and not really take it seriously enough?
There have been various statements about it, including coming out of the Biden campaign, where they're trying to highlight the dangers that lie in its pages. I don't think there's a full-fledged campaign that stresses it at this point. And even though it's been released for several months now, it's over 900 pages long. It's very dense. It has many, many actions that would be very damaging, that could be achieved by executive order early in the administration. It has other measures that probably couldn't be achieved, that simply aren't realistic or don't even make sense. So, for example, one of the lines in the text says, every child has the right to be raised by its biological father and mother. And it may be a failure of my imagination, but I can't imagine them coming in and abolishing the practice of adoption and foster care and all the other subsidiary ways that parenting actually occurs, right? That doesn't seem realistic to me, although I can see that what they were trying to word it as is an anti-marriage equality LGBTQ parental phrase, but the way it's worded is impossible to implement. So you can't read it as something that could be executed in every aspect of the text, but you do have to look at it as a very serious declaration of intent with much that could be executed.
How much attention has the project gotten in the mainstream media?
There have been a lot of references, but it's been very difficult to cover, partly because of its length and also because of the dense bureaucratic language. You know, I did read the whole thing.
Must have been exhausted.
It gives you a headache. But in my piece for the Washington Spectator, I pulled out 10 aspects that I thought the public needed to review. And there are other groups that are pulling out items and signaling them as causes for alarm. Because as I say, this is a serious declaration of intent. And there's certainly a strong possibility you could have a Republican administration elected in November. So people need to know what exactly they're voting for. And I think that there are items in this document that would shock people and others that the majority of Americans would not agree with. They want no emissions controls. They even want to abolish energy ratings on your air conditioner, right? Because it is so much at the service of the fossil fuels industry that they want to withdraw the United States from the Paris Climate Accord and all other environmental international agreements. They just want to basically abolish climate science and climate policy. And as we know from the Trump administration, you could advance that through a combination of legislation and judicial rulings and administrative action. You could set climate science and climate policy back years by the combination of powers that they would have. And the planet and our country cannot afford this. I don't need to tell people in California, much less other parts of the country that are experiencing environmental crises, that this is exactly the wrong time to reverse climate policy.
Do you think there's anything in the project and the program that would turn off Republican voters if they knew about it?
I would have to think more about exactly how they would think about it. For example, there are Republican voters who have adopted children too. How would they consider this statement?
There's even evangelicals who care about the environment.
There are those. And I think that there are a lot of very middle-of-the-road Americans who would be just as happy to know what the energy rating on their air conditioner is and spend a little bit less on their electric bill, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just common sense. And it astonishes me that the fossil fuels company haven't quite caught up with the rest of the country and think that they have to squeeze every last penny out of environmental degradation rather than just going with the flow and investing in clean energy. But, you know, I think that there are Republican voters that have a Prius too. You know, there are all kinds of things in this that they should object to. But the problem is that so many of the Republican voters have their attention focused on single issues by the media that dominates their environment. And quite often, those issues are presented to them in a fallacious way. So if you're focused on, say, abortion, what they're being told is literally that Democrats support abortion up to the day of birth of a healthy baby, which is false. It is absolutely false. But if you believe that and you're told that that's the one issue you should be voting on, then the rest of the threats that affect their actual lives don't really penetrate. But among the nuances in these documents are just rolling back rights on such a vast level that it's almost hard to comprehend. So, for example, the introduction of this document wants to ban terms from all federal language, legislation, regulations, bills. And those terms include the word gender, the term reproductive health. Now, I have to assume that Republican women would value their reproductive health. I would assume any woman would. And how on earth do you serve it if you banish the very vocabulary? So the problem is that you have to go into the document, as I did, and pull out these passages to see what they're actually talking about. And my piece, I feel, is a contribution, but it scratches the surface. There's 900 pages in there to delve into. And what we need is a small army of people with specialized knowledge in environmental issues, and agriculture, and reproductive health, in the care of children, in public health, to go in and dissect this document and educate the public about what's being threatened. Another passage that bothered me a great deal was that it said that officials from the CDC should not be allowed to advise vaccinations for school children. So we already have a measles outbreak in 17 states in this country. You have a death rate among children of 1 to 2 per 1,000 in cases of measles, which could be very serious. They think that children and their parents should not be advised to be vaccinated against deadly diseases. I would assume that Republican parents love their children too. So it's quite a sweeping document and one that has very, very serious implications.
Anything else you want to add?
Well, I hope that people can find a starting point. My Washington Spectator piece, which is called The Latest Attack on America, is one, but there are other groups that have put out very good guides to it. And just find the primers and talk about it with people. And I think that every candidate of any party who's running for office at any level in 2024 should be asked, do you support Project 2025? Yes or no? If they waffle and they say, oh, I support some but not other aspects, say, all right, what do you not support? If they say, I haven't read it, then you say, why not? And are you saying that you reject the support of the 100 organizations that have signed on to it? Hold people's feet to the fire. Don't let them off the stage.
Ann Nelson is an author, lecturer, and consultant on international media issues. She spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on April 23rd, 2024.